We have a lot to chat about here, too, including, again, the countdown to, I mentioned, 5 days to the first NFL training camp. So we have the first game is 3 weeks from tonight. We have a game. We have, well, it's Hall of Fame game. Hardly qualifies as a game, but nonetheless, he'll be playing football to some degree or another in Canton, Ohio, 3 weeks from tonight. So, which is good news because we need to, after the All-Star game, we just got to, we'll talk about what the Braves are going to do, but we sort of got to, we got to move on, okay? We, this sad summer, we just got to move to the fall. I know it's still going to be really hot all the way to October. I know, I get that. We got to move on. So, Dion, when he was a player here in town, I never got to know Dion. I mean, loved him as a player, as a Brave, loved him as a Falcon. Wish he would have been a Falcon for life, all that kind of good stuff. Bothers me to see highlights of him as a Niner or a Cowboy. But Dion, you know, certainly beloved athlete in town. I was a huge fan. My only interaction with him on a personal level was post-Braves, post-Falcons, that kind of stuff, locker room stuff. So I don't really know him, but I've always appreciated him. He's always been charismatic. He's always been open. I think he's always been, you know, probably a little too honest for his own good. I thought he did, you know, a great job at Jackson State. And then he goes to, unfortunately, Colorado to me is they're my swampers of college football. I don't know what it is with black and gold, but they're my swampers of college football. I cannot stand the Colorado Golden Buffaloes on a level almost equal to how I cannot stand the, okay? I mean, it's that bad. They're the team that I can't stand. And he's the coach. It just kills me. You go anywhere but there. I don't care where you are. Not there, but he's there. So anyway, this will be the year that we find out everything we need to know about Dion as a head coach because his son is gone. Travis Hunter is gone. He's got two really good, talented quarterbacks, Juju Lewis, the young star out of Carrollton. We'll see how he does, if he wins the job. Keaton Solder is the other quarterback. He was really highly touted in Southern California, was at USC. We'll see who wins the job. But this will tell us, I think, everything we need to know about Dion as a head coach this season. I mean, because if he can really turn the program around, it's got to start now. And he really did a little bit, but it was really more flash than anything else with his son and with Travis over the last couple of seasons. There wasn't a whole lot of meat on the bone outside of those guys. You know, even though they got a lot of transfers in, we'll see if he can actually elevate Colorado to true contender status. And if he does, he's going to be able to write his ticket because there are going to be a lot of openings. Let's put it this way. If he has a big year in Boulder, there are going to be some openings in the SEC. And some people are going to look at him knowing what kind of recruiter he is, and they're going to say, listen, you want to make a splash hire, that would be prime back into the South. So let's kind of keep our eyes on that. I'm telling you, if you're Auburn and you fire Hugh Freeze, are you not at least considering prime? But he's going to have to prove to me or you or everybody else that he could actually build a program. Jackson State is one thing. I take nothing away from what he accomplished at Jackson State, but that's not exactly the SEC, okay? It's not. And so it's one thing to build it at Jackson State. It's entirely another thing to build it in FBS and especially at the SEC level. So we'll see. But Dion's at the Big 12 Media Days, and he's talking. And he's talking about how he isn't thrilled with where college football is, like a lot of other people, and that he wants to see some things change, and so he's offering up his own opinion. So let's play a couple of sound bites from Dion. This is at the Big 12 Media Days. The first one is about the rules of the game, kind of broadly, and how he thinks college football would benefit by changing and looking a little bit more like the next level up.
I like the professional rules to be implemented in college. They're getting ready to be pros, so let's go 2 feet in, you know, on the catches. Let's mark the foul if we pass interference. Let's do the same thing the pro game is. Let's do it to college. And let's do something about the uniforms. We got guys out there in backer shorts. That makes me sick because I'm a football guy. Like I played this game at a high level and I have so much respect for this game. And how can we allow guys out there in backer shorts, no knee pads, no nothing, literally pants up under their thighs, and that's cool.
All right, two things. Number one, Dion, of all people, which is fine, I don't have a problem, but Dion Sanders, of all people, is complaining about how guys wear their uniforms. Does anybody remember Oren and Day-Day when Deion was fined all the time for not conforming to NFL uniform standards?
Yep.
he was always fined because he hiked his pants up too high. They were like, no, you can't do that. So, all right. I actually agree with Deion, guys. I would love to see a couple of changes. And I know that people say, well, we want college to be different than the NFL. We like the game as it is. We like the wider hash marks or this or that or the other thing. We don't want it to be the same as the NFL. However, I think he makes a really good point, because I think, especially in analyzing certain things, I have been saying for a long, long time that college football, I mean for 30 or 40 years, the college football's got to go to 2 feet in bounds. I mean, it just has to. This single toe tap thing, you know, I think it's bad, Oren. I think it's unfair in a way to wide receivers who don't have to learn the double toe tap in college because they can get lazy and just do the single one and come to the NFL and then now have to kind of relearn how they catch the ball and use their feet at the same time. No, yes.
Well, it's actually Day-Day. But yeah, I agree with you in agreeing with some of the things that that Prime is saying. But for me, I think it's more so his what he had to say to me about the you know, the financial stuff. That's kind of where I'm at with him.
Let's hear this, because here's the financial part of this. Day-Day, he's talking about what we need to do in terms of finances in college football.
I wish it was a cap. You know, like, the top of the line player makes this, and if you're not that type of guy, you know you're not going to make that. That's what the NFL does. So the problem is, you got a guy that's not that darn good, but he could go to another school and they give him $500,000, and you can't compete with that. That don't make sense. And you're talking about equality, not equality, like equal, I guess, so equality. And all you have to do is look at the playoffs and see what those teams spent, and you understand darn near why they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25, $30 million to a darn freshman class. It's crazy. We're not complaining, because all these coaches up here could coach their butts off, and given the right opportunity with the right players and play here and there, you'll be there. But it's what's going on right now don't make sense. And we want to say stuff, but we're trying to be professional. But you're going to see the same teams darn near at the end, and with somebody who sneaks up in there. But the team that pays the most is going to be there in the end.
All right, Day-Day, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, I think he's 100% right. I think when it comes to a cap, I think there should be, like, as a freshman, for example, as an incoming freshman, there should be a certain level that cannot be exceeded. You're a freshman. So, and even Kirby talked about this. He shouldn't have an incoming freshman potentially, you know, having the potential to make more money than a guy that's a junior or a senior on the team. I get that there's the whole talent aspect, but to his point, put some caps in place. And I know there's all these things about people keep saying, well, you know, people are afraid about the court aspect. Like, if it's a contract, if this stuff is contractual, if they can find ways to make all this stuff contractual, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, this is why I've always been a very strong advocate of Super Conference, which we need to get to, because there's nobody to make the rules. And then there has to be representation for the athletes through maybe athletes.org. It has to be collectively bargained, and all that stuff has to happen, which is going to make it a lot like the pro game, obviously, even more so than it is now. So, yeah, that's going to have to happen before we get to the caps. And there really is no cap. Where Deion is missing one thing is that there's no cap, really, in professional athletics. There's a salary cap, but no income cap. And there's no income cap in college athletics currently. And there never will be. There's no income cap in life. Now, if you're looking at let's just take the NBA, for example. You know, they offer this thing called bird rights, where you can pay a player that you already have more money than anybody else. Okay, that's fine. But at the same time, if you're a free agent and you're looking at making and maximizing the amount of money you make outside of basketball, why do you think Shaq left Orlando? He left Orlando because he was going to go to LA to make movies and do rap and make money with endorsements outside of basketball. Well, that's what players are doing now. If you think a salary cap in college football is going to prevent boosters, Joe Booster, who owns, you know, XYZ company that's worth billions of dollars, can still offer a young high school stud, super stud, you know, $500,000 in endorsement money, that's not going to be part of any salary cap that exists in college football, which is to say Texas and Ohio State and all these big super schools are still going to be able to offer more because their boosters will pay endorsement money. The free market, they will not be able to be stopped by that. There is no law you can pass that will prevent a booster from giving somebody endorsement money. I'm just telling you that that's just a fact of life that you got to live with, okay? That's the way things work in the United States. You can't say you can't accept any endorsement. You can't. So as a result, unfortunately for Prime, that's never going to change. The big schools, the super big schools, are always going to be able to offer more, even if they offer the same exact salary, air quotes, that at, I don't know, San Diego State could offer the same salary that Texas can. And Texas can offer endorsement money because their boosters are going to offer the endorsement money. You see, they're always going to try and buy guys. And that's the way it works. Guys, that's why they're the big schools. So, you know, the pros do, again, the pros do it too. There's a lure of going to those major markets like the in baseball or football or anything where you can go make money, you know, in New York. You're in Madison Avenue. You can go make money in Hollywood. You can go make money, in theory, in Atlanta. You know, we should, that's why we should be swimming in bigger waters than we do, given the music and entertainment industry that's here. We ought to use that as an inducement in our town because you can make the exact same money under a cap situation in Salt Lake City than you can here. Well, then why not make sure that you can get money here in the endorsements? You can't get in Salt Lake City. So that's a real difficult animal to try and put into a box because you're not going to ever do that. It's just not going to exist. And that's a reality that I think some fans and maybe even Dion haven't wrapped their brain around. He'll like the whole more endorsement idea when he goes to a bigger school. He'll like that.